You're listening to The Jay Barker Show on Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa.
You heard it. Big Noon Sports. Matt, Lars, Noah's at the controls. Peyton and Laura Lee are in the studio as well. And we'll just continue the conversation that started about 4:06 yesterday afternoon. Nick Saban is retiring as the head football coach at the University of Alabama. Let's do a roundtable thing first, and I'll kind of kick things off where I was, what I was thinking, what I did. But honestly, I got the news in a text message from my daughter who works for the Tyler Telegraph in Texas. And I looked down there, and I thought, okay. But then I saw a byline. It said Chris Lowe, and I said, okay, good to go. This is it. This is a fact. And I immediately started thinking about Nick Saban, what it meant personally, what it means to this radio station, what it means to this city, this state, the SEC, the nation. And, yes, we will talk extensively about his football statistics, wins, losses, not many, number of players he sent to the NFL. But the one thing I would just like to emphasize off the top is what Nick Saban has done as a person. What he and Miss Terry have meant to this community. As I was driving in today, I see the Saban sign. You know the one I'm talking about? You come on, it's for his schools and the thing that he's developing downtown. But it's things like that I want everybody to remember about Nick Saban. The fact that the school's enrollment has doubled since he's been the head coach. Where does that go moving forward? But all of his philanthropic efforts and what he and Miss Terry have meant to this community and to the University of Alabama. And, Lars, I'll hand the ball to you by saying, you know, when this all started, the marriage between Miss Terry and Coach Saban started in April of 2011.
Yeah, that is when I think they firmly became rooted in the community of Tuscaloosa. In the hours and days after the tornado swept through Tuscaloosa and then, the rest of Alabama. Nick Saban was out on the front lines. I detailed it in my book, Storm in the Tide. And in that span of, again, 24, 48 hours after the tornado hit, Nick Saban hugged and listened and counseled and just comforted more people in that stretch than he had in the entirety of his life. And I think while the winds of April 27th knocked over so much, what those winds also did is they firmly planted the roots, sunk the roots as deep as possible for Nick and Miss Terry to stay here, because no longer were they just viewed as a head coach or the maternal figure of a football program. They became community leaders, and they became invested in the community in a way that is rare in all of sports, especially in college football, where coaches are constantly hopscotching around to different jobs. And got to remember that Nick Saban was known as somewhat of a coaching mercenary before he got to Alabama. He'd spend 3-4 years at a school, build it up, then move on to the next challenge. And that was sort of the narrative going into when Nick Saban arrived in Tuscaloosa. Oh, he'll just be there 3-4 years and then he'll go back to the NFL or wherever. No, he ended up staying 17 years. I don't think anybody could have imagined that. And we'll get into why we think now was the time for Nick Saban here in a little bit. But I think it's just important to remember locally here, hyper local, of what he meant to the community here in Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama. The University of Alabama would not be where it is today without Nick Saban. And the best investment the University of Alabama ever made was in Nick Saban.
True.
And, man, we will spend a lot of time in the next few days talking about that. But I want to hand it off to Peyton, who is a student here at Alabama. He was with us all all during the fall, every Friday at Innisfree. Peyton, just where were you and what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I was in my bed, and I was actually on the phone with my mother, funny enough, and I'm just aimlessly scrolling through Twitter, get a text, And then I see an update and see, like Matt said, multiple reports circulating that Nick Saban's gone as of like 30 seconds ago. And my immediate thought was just shock because I don't know anything else. Football is a huge part of my life, obviously. I've, you know, been on here. I'm the young one. Of course, I'm 21 years old. So all I've really known throughout my life is Nick Saban at Alabama. And the funny thing is I come from New Orleans. I'm a Saints fan as well. And how he was, he wanted Drew Brees in Miami and the doctors wouldn't sign off on it. So Drew Brees ended up going to New Orleans and Nick Saban goes to Alabama. I sometimes laugh about what would happen if Drew Brees had gone to Miami and Saban had been around there. And it's just the impact that's had on the university that I love and the one that I call my, you know, my current college and my home. Because, you know, like Matt said, you know, the administrator, the, you know, the student body has at least doubled. And my parents come back here, they're alumni as well, and they come back here and say, it just gets bigger every time I come here because of, you know, just how much it just keeps expanding, you know, outwardly and the buildings coming up this fast. Just none of that's possible without the impact that Nick Saban's had on everyone in this community. And, you know, obviously we'll never forget him, but I thought about just how he's worked 17 years to leave this program in a great place still. He's going to have the program in a great place moving forward. Obviously, we're going to miss him a lot. He said today that he wants to remain, you know, part of what's going on in Alabama to an extent. I think he said on ESPN this morning, but, you know, just my first reaction is just what, like, wow, this is an insane part of my life. I've never known an Alabama coaching search. Like right now, Alabama doesn't have a current football coach. It's just crazy to me to think about because, you know, as long as I've been, you know, alive, he's just been.
What were you, like three when they hired?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't remember watching the press conference or anything like that. My first memories are, you know, that 2009 season and the Rose Bowl, winning that against Texas. And, just, you know, that's the start of this ride that's just been so incredible, and I'm so spoiled because of it.
Think about it. If you're basically 25 years or younger, yeah, all you've known is Nick Saban as the head coach at Alabama.
I don't know.
There is no.
I don't know.
Saban.
Dark times at Alabama. I don't know.
Seems like last week to you and I.
Yeah.
Peyton Davis is our student in studio, University of Alabama. He's a broadcasting major, and he is a star on the rise. Peyton Davis, thank you for being here. He'll be with us for the length of the show, pretty much. Our other guest in studio is Laura Lee Thompson. And y'all know her, Innisfree, same deal, Bama broker. And since it's 2024, Laura Lee, are you now the president of the Red Elephant Club? When will you be?
It'll start in August.
Wow. Congratulations on that. But as the president, did your phone just explode? You and I were texting all night, but I just wondered, with all of your connections and with the University of Alabama, what happened? What did you do?
Well, I was actually talking to a client of mine. I just got our house under contract, and my phone starts blowing up, and I walked into my house, and I flipped on Paul Feinbaum, and I just stopped talking to my client, and I was like, you know.
Should I get back with you?
Well, she and I kind of, I said, oh my gosh, and then I told her, I said, I'm going to have to call you back. And yes, so it was shocking, and it was surreal, and, you know, unlike Peyton, I'm a little bit older. This is the second time I've been, and people my age, we have all been so blessed to have two great coaches. You know, so I was a young teenager when the Bear retired and then passed away. And this time with Coach Saban, gratefully, he's still here. He's going to be around the program at least for a little bit. But it was a very similar feeling of loss, not just for our football team.
Late in his career here at Alabama, meaning just a couple years ago, Coach Saban talked to myself and maybe one or two other national writers about the fact when he was 5-6 years old, he was scared to open up the closet in his bedroom because he was afraid of the monster inside. That monster for him for many years has been retirement. So for him to open the door and confront that monster is very profound.
And the suddenness of it. We'll get into it as to why now, what factored into his decision, which, by the way, surprised everybody. Did you think anybody in this room, raise your hand, thought he was going to retire?
Not a single person.
I thought he had 2 years, maybe three.
There's not one person in the country other than Miss Terry who probably knew.
Well,
and maybe,
he kept it.
And maybe Greg Byrne.
And Byrne, I get the feeling he kind of found out later. Before us, but, you know, like maybe a week ago, because he's got one hell of a job, because 72 hours, which is down about 58, the clock's ticking on him. Mm. Let me make you aware of the show and what we're going to do. Phone lines are wide open. I know a lot of the fans and the people here in Tuscaloosa and across the state of Alabama on Big Noon Sports Network. Please give us a call and express your thoughts and your feelings at this time. Number is 205-342-9904. Also, download the Tide 100.9 app, and you can message us as well. In just a few minutes, we will be joined by the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the one and only Eli Gold. Second hour, I figured we'd get touch with people that really knew him. One of them's James Spann, who does the weather right here. And then later on, we know it's going to affect recruiting, and so we got Andrew Bone on as well. So, Lars, I want to kind of check back in with you about the suddenness. We all just expressed a moment ago, we were all surprised. Without speculating off the end of the pool here, why? Why so quick?
Oh, man, that is not an easy question to answer. Look, we know, according to really good reporting by 24/7 Sports, that he told his team that it was age and health concerns. I've also been told, and Chris Lowe has kind of been backing this up, that he just doesn't like the current state of college football. Now, what is the one thing that Nick Saban always wanted more than anything else as a coach? He wanted control. And I've, again, this is not firsthand reporting by me. I wouldn't throw this out there on paper, but this is just what I'm hearing. So I'm a conduit of information here. I can tell you exactly what I believe. And do you want to do that on the other side, Matt, or we
got to take care of some business, which, by the way, Nick Saban is totally responsible for. Yeah. He's helped this radio station.
He's helped
our network. I'm talking about from a financial standpoint. But we will take our first break, and when we get back, we'll get in touch with Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And as I mentioned, James Spann, Andrew Bone are to follow. Your calls are very welcome at 205-342-9904.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Action. From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, Peyton Davis, our student broadcaster, Lars Anderson, myself, Matt Coulter. Hey, Noah. How you doing, man? I bet your life hadn't been busy at all, has it?
Oh, just a little bit, just a little bit.
One of the first people I thought about when I was last night preparing and trying to get the show together and all that is the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, and that is the one and literally only Eli Gold. And Eli Gold joins Big Noon Sports here. Eli, I'm going to skip past the formalities on how you're doing, Happy New Year and all that, but I just want to get straight to where were you and what did you think when you heard the announcement that, indeed, Nick Saban was going to retire?
Well, I was here at the house, Matt, and I was doing something in the bedroom, and then Claudette came running in, my wife, and said, "You got to put on the TV. They just announced that Saban is retiring." And so that's how I learned about it. I didn't have any advance notice. Was I surprised? Well, I certainly had no idea that, you know, the 10th of January was going to be the day. I mean, we all knew that he was closer to the end of his career than he was to the beginning of his career. You know, he wasn't going to go another 17 years. But I didn't have any idea as to when this would happen. And you know what? I'm thrilled for him. I'm selfishly sorry for myself. I've enjoyed working with Coach Saban. I'm sorry for the players who won't have a chance to learn under Coach Saban. I'm sorry for a lot of people, but I am thrilled for he and Miss Terry and the kids and the grandchildren. I mean, let's face it, he has earned this time off. He really has, and I'm thrilled for him.
Eli, you obviously have your pulse on the Alabama fan base as much as anyone. Just describe the sort of collective feeling that Alabama fans have this morning.
Well, I'm sure they're upset. They're disappointed, Lars. You know, it's anytime you lose somebody, you know, I don't care who it was, you know, when Roger Maris, you know, retired after hitting all those home runs or whatever the sport is, when Wayne Gretzky retired and you're a fan of his, you're always disappointed and you're concerned about what's going to happen next. You got to just expect that our athletic director is going to have, you know, his hands on the pulse of what's going on and who's out there and who's available. And he is going to hire somebody who's very, very good. Anybody who's on that short list, whoever it is, I have no idea. But whoever's on that short list is clearly very good. They will need to have thick skin because this is not just Alabama. It is Nick Saban's Alabama that he is inheriting. And, you know, we all know how spectacular the coach has been over the years. So, you got to trust the athletic director. He made a heck of a hire with Nate Oates, and I don't anticipate anything different when it comes to football.
Mr. Gould, Peyton Davis here, student at Alabama, been listening to you for years. It's an honor to be speaking to you, of course. You kind of referenced earlier the fact that you were surprised you hadn't previously known, but you didn't sound like you were shocked. Have you had kind of a suspicion that this was maybe coming since, the guard is changing, the eras are kind of shifting now in college football, a 12-team playoff, conferences aligning differently and NIL transfer portal growing immensely? Do you think that really affected the decision happening right now?
Well, I don't know for a fact. I haven't asked the coach that, but I'm sure maybe the portal more so than the NIL. You know, he's always been in support of the players getting paid, so that's good. I don't know if he likes the idea that he's had to outbid other schools for certain talent. You know, that takes him too close back to his NFL days, which he did not necessarily love. He didn't despise it, but he much prefers the college way of life and so on. So there have been changes, and I dare say a lot of those things had, you know, something to do a little bit, but I don't know how much or what have you. You know, it's I think he wanted to spend time with the family. I think the family is very, very important to him. And, you know, all those things combined probably contributed to the announcement coming the way it did.
Hi, Eli. This is Lori Lee Thompson. I'm a fan and a booster and...
Advertiser.
Uh-huh. And I know we can sit here and speculate all day about the whys and wherefores, but what I would like to hear from you is give me one of your favorite stories with Coach Saban. We all have so many memories over the last 17 years. I know it's going to be hard for you to pick one, but if you could, I'd like to hear a great story.
Boy, you're right. That's very difficult. Obviously, you know, as far as big plays are concerned, I still have to default to Devontae to win the national championship against Georgia. That was, you know, that showed what Nick Saban was all about. Not many coaches would have had the guts to change quarterbacks and go to a true freshman at halftime of a national championship game. But Nick Saban did. I also enjoyed the dry sense of humor that he showed us, you know, behind the scenes. And on his Thursday night talk show, he would have a very dry sense of humor. And I enjoyed that very much. So there are a lot of things, but, you know, some stuff I'll just keep to myself. But, you know, it was I've always enjoyed my time with him. I really, really have.
I will add to her many accomplishments that Laura Lee is the president in waiting of the Red Elephant Club. So she's been
wonderful.
She swings a larger stick at the University of Alabama than any of us do. Eli, you were there when they hired Nick Saban, and you were there, obviously, you're still there. What did you see? Did Nick change a lot over those 17 years?
Yes, he has over the years. You know, he got, like anybody, he got more and more comfortable with his surroundings. You know, when he first showed up, I mean, he didn't even know where the executive bathroom was. You know, it's like anybody going to work at a new place of business. You're tentative, but then he got his people in place and he got more and more comfortable. And then the last couple of years, he probably mellowed a little bit. He was not mellow by the strict, you know, explanation of the word, but he has mellowed some. He was a little more, you know, loose, a little happier, a little different in that regard. So, yes, he has changed, and that's one of the successes that Nick Saban has. He had the ability to change. We saw a lot of coaches over the years in the SEC, and I'm not going to mention the names, but Matt, you and Lars, certainly, along with our two visitors today, we all know some names of coaches who refused to change, and they are no longer coaching, or at least not coaching in the SEC. You know, Nick Saban realized that he had to do some things differently, back to the days of when the game changed to the point where you couldn't use the same defensive lineman on all four downs, and he had to, you know, change his approach to the Terrence Codys of the world and recruit things and recruit differently, and learning the spread offense and the hurry up and this and that, you know, and bringing in Lane Kiffin to help teach him a lot of things. Not every coach would have done that, but he had the confidence in his own ability that he said, I need to learn this. And I don't mind letting everybody know that I need to learn this, and let's go out and put it to good use. And obviously, Bama goes on and wins championship after championship. So, you know, he's a very, very special guy. Everything he says, everything he does is well thought out, you know, and that's what makes him very special.
Eli, for many years, you hosted Hey Coach with Nick Saban. That was both on the radio and television throughout the state of Alabama, recorded on Thursday nights here in Tuscaloosa. Yep. And I was fortunate enough to be the media guest several times with you. Always seemed like Coach Saban was just more at ease in that atmosphere. Do you have any just any special remembrances of doing that show with – yes, go ahead.
I do. He genuinely – loved doing that Thursday night talk show. And not only did he tell me that, but Miss Terry had told me that, and his secretary Linda Leone had told me that, and PR people have told me that. He genuinely loved doing that show, which, you know, with so many coaches out there now, with so many coaches out there who don't do talk shows any longer, or only do four a year or something, they just hate it. Nick Saban loved it. He said, I need to get out of the office and get among real people, or regular people, I believe he said. You know, the folks that he doesn't see every day in the office. People that, you know, just want to talk a little football and support the Crimson Tide. Now, he'd get worked up, as we all know. There were times when he'd have his moments. But he genuinely loved being around a normal group of people, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, he loved that. He loved when Pee-wee would call in. Huh. And, you know, Pee-wee is our habitual first caller who would always want to talk about the offensive line. He loved the by-play. And, you know, and he'd go around during the commercial breaks and kiss babies and shake hands and the whole bit. Like, you know, he could work a room like the greatest politician you've ever seen. So, yeah, he genuinely loved the Thursday night show. He sure did.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that, you know, given he wanted to go a few more years, he would have adapted, like you said earlier, to, you know, the changing ways of college football still again, because he's done it so many times. And being, you know, a 21-year-old who's never known anything besides Nick Saban pretty much at Alabama, can you kind of give your the most noticeable changes? I know obviously the campus has grown and the facility's gotten nicer and all of that, but just the most noticeable change when you look at Alabama, the University of Alabama campus in Tuscaloosa in 2024 compared to 2007?
There's so much. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at the university, the you know, the building crane is the national bird out there. You know, it's on campus.
Absolutely.
So you know, it's I can't even begin to talk about that. But you're right. You stay away for a couple of months and you come back after a summer break, and you can't even find your way through the Malmore building because they've done so much. They've added this. They've changed that. They've done this. They've done that. You know, there's a reason why Alabama gets all these players. And there's a reason why all these NFL greats still come back to the university during the summer to work out instead of staying in their NFL city and using their facilities. It's because the university's facilities are far better than darn near every single NFL city. Not everyone, but darn near everyone. So, you know, those are just some of the changes that have taken place over the years, no doubt about it.
Well, it will be interesting to see, you know, everybody I'm sure has seen the stats of everything that Coach Saban has done, but especially the players and the effect that he has had on the players.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how we go forward. I'm sure you have had the you know, the chance to speak with some of the players. Have you heard from any?
I've only heard from one guy. You know, I don't bother. I don't interfere with them. They don't need to hear from Eli right now. I don't have a daily show or anything like that, so I don't bother these guys in times like this. I have heard from one guy who is a former broadcast partner of mine, and he knew and knows Coach Saban very well. But other than that, no, I haven't interfered, and I won't interfere. But, you know, the man is good. The man is good. You know, we've already seen one guy change his commitment, withdraw his commitment from Alabama. Hopefully there won't be too many more, but, you know, you can understand why if people are saying, I want to play for Coach Saban, and if he's not going to be there, you know, you kind of understand that. But the man is, I don't even know how to say it well enough. He is just so caring. And that's the thing. He will make sure when he recruits you that you know, and your parents and grandma and grandpa, they all know that their youngster is going to be taken good care of at the university. He'll never promise you a job. He'll never promise you a starting position. Nothing like that. But he will promise you the opportunity to earn that position. And, he's just straight up. He's, and let's face it, the guy is good. Success breeds success. Why did John Wooden recruit so well at UCLA? Because success breeds success. And the same thing in Tuscaloosa. So, you want a national title ring? Here's where you want to go. And, certainly not exclusively. There have been other champions, but your odds were much, much greater that you'd get a title ring from Alabama than someplace else.
As always, superb job. Thank you, Eli, and I appreciate you joining us on such short notice because it caught us all on short notice. Eli,
It did.
Yeah, my best to Claudette and Lise and your family.
You too. Take care, everybody. See ya.
We will. Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. To the phones we go after the break. This is Big Noon Sports, brought to you in part by Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
Be down to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
We haven't really even had time to address who's next, but you know what? We've got a lot of time. However, according to the reports from the University of Alabama and what was told of the team, the clock is on Athletic Director Greg Byrne. I think he has 57 hours left. Let's get some opinions on the phone here on Big Noon Sports. Max, how are you today?
Man, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah. So last night when I got the news, I cried. I'm not going to lie to you. I cried. It was bittersweet. The reason for my crying is very complicated. I grew up a hardcore Bama fan. I was groomed to be a Bama football player or baseball player all of my life. And I'm from Alabama. And all I heard all of my life was my dad telling me about the days of Bear Bryant that he lived through. I was born in 1980. So, you know, obviously I didn't get to witness any of that. And so most of my young life, I'm like, man, when do I get to experience all these great plays and championships and things that he was talking about? And then, of course, we hire Stallings. and which I think is the greatest championship we ever won in 92. It's just that maybe I'm partial to it, but you know, for selfish reasons. So I get to experience that. And then I go on, and obviously I make some wrong decisions and don't become a Bama football player or baseball player like I was groomed to be and wanted to be. And then I have children of my own, and they're 13 and 16, and we hire Coach Saban. And all they've ever known is Coach Saban, and that's how Bama football is to them. So they don't know previous. And so last night, I kind of looked back. My dad, he took his life when I was 20 years old, and we were best friends. So I looked back last night, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to witness the same things he was talking about the whole time I was a child, except for a little more than what he got to witness with Coach Bryant. And so I cried because I was like, oh, my gosh, if he could have witnessed that. And my son came to me, my 13-year-old, and he's like, Dad, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. And because that's all he's ever known. And now Coach Saban walks away. So it was tears of actual, you know, happiness, but sorrow at the same time. It's weird, man. It's hard to explain.
This is one of the best calls we've ever had.
I agree.
Thank you for your honesty. And, yep. You know, everybody's going to have a real personal story about Nick Saban. And that, to me, Matt, is what makes him so special, and also why, or one of the reasons makes him special, but also why I think those of us in Tuscaloosa have a far different view of Nick Saban than other people around the country, Laura Lee.
Yes, we do, and I can certainly identify with this, you know, caller, because you know, you guys in the studio can see me. That yeah. It's
an emotional day.
Yeah.
It's an emotional day for people here.
Yeah, it's emotional. It's like I was saying, it's about the sport of college football. It's about what he has done for this town. It's the whole community. We got to see a side of Saban that the rest of the country did not see. You know, we got to see the human side of him, not just the coaching side of him, and the fact that he is so caring and what he did after the tornado here, and since then, and all the houses he built for Habitat for Humanity, and just the Saban Center, as Matt said earlier, that is coming, and the money that he has poured into this community, he and Miss Terry, and that's part of the sorrow.
Matt, for those of us who weren't here when Bear Bryant retired, it's sort of hard to look back into history because Bear Bryant's retirement and his passing are kind of tied into the same story. But if you can take us back to the day or the day after Bear Bryant announced his retirement, are you feeling now similar emotions?
You're going to get me all welled up over here.
Yeah, it's very, very similar, except for what you just said. And that's why it's a little difficult to discuss. But there are some of us that have been around long enough. As I have often said, I was one of the first reporters at Druid City Hospital when Bryant passed away. I had the lead on our station, 13 in Birmingham. And one of the things I remembered, and I'm doing again now, and this is from a broadcast standpoint. I could get into a personal detail later or maybe tomorrow. But from a broadcast standpoint, just like last night, I'm sitting at my computer. I get the text from my daughter. You know, you take a moment to, and you did the same thing, Lars.
Yeah.
You take it in personally.
Yeah.
And you go through your emotions and then your feelings.
My first emotion was sad.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm objective reporter guy here, right?
But what did you do next? Focus. Yeah. Time to go.
Yep.
The process.
Yeah.
Let's get guests on. You and I were talking, and Laura Lee and I were talking all last night. And I'll go on the Bryant thing in a little bit more detail from a personal level and the coverage and all that. But one thing that you said it, we've all said it, sad. And last night I was socializing with a few people, and the television was on. They were interviewing students right out there at the Champions Walk, and they were crying. And somebody went, "Why? What are you doing?" You know what I said? You don't get it. Let's take a call. We go to Tommy. By the way, Max, great call. Please do again. Tommy?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Well, what I take away from him retiring is I am very satisfied. I know it was a shock, but we knew it was coming one of these days. But like you said, you saw a student crying, and there's a couple of commentators on that network. I will not name his name, but, you know, E something. We won't go there. And they got so funny. I'm like, we don't have pro football. It's high school football and college football in the state of Alabama. That's what we live for. And baseball, you know, you play two sports. We don't produce many basketball players. But I felt when I got looking about, I'm 62 years old, be 63 in March. I have seen two of the greatest coaches in college football in person. Not many programs or fan bases can say that. Two guys that won six national championships, Paul William Bryant won six, Nick Saban won six. What other program can say? We can hear about the great Ohio State, Woody Hayes, Bo, and all this, and Notre Dame. I've seen two coaches win 12 national championships, well, really 13, I'm sorry, in my lifetime. It's freaking amazing. I've been blessed, I think. If you're a true Alabama fan, don't be sad. Be thankful. Like I told somebody on another show yesterday, I called Ryan Fowler. He said, what do we say? You say, thank you, Nick Saban, Miss Terry, and God bless you. Because look what they have done for Tuscaloosa and for the state of Alabama. These two people have been a positive role model for Alabama. And I'm thankful they came for 17 years. And I thank Miss Terry for sharing her husband because he loved to recruit football. That was his love, talking to parents and getting to know players. That was his true love and making young men winner in life and on the field. What else can you say?
Thank you, Tommy. Another outstanding call. And we'll take more, and you can get in line if you'd like at 205-342-9904. You can also message us on our app at Tide 100.9. Al and Tom, you guys hang on. We'll get to you after this break. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
Christian and Corey Miller every weekday here on Tide 100.9.
Happy Thursday and good day.
Catch Christian and Corey Miller every weekday. Catch Christian and Corey Miller every weekday here on Tide 100.9.
Happy Thursday and good day to my good people here that listen to us on the Tide 100.9. This is Corey Miller, the pastor of Payne, and Christian Miller. Tomorrow is that time. My man and 50 grand Stephen M. Smith of the Bama Standard, in his own words, will join us to break down Alabama football, some of the good news that we got guys returning, and what it's going to mean for the team, guys that are leaving. That's all coming up tomorrow on Thursday on the Miller's Edge.
Tune in 11 to noon to hear Christian and Corey Miller break down everything from college to the pros on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama sports.
Yeah. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high today around 60. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 45. Tomorrow, cloudy and breezy. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Storms could be severe. The high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Back on Big Noon Sports, Matt, Lars, Peyton, and Laura Lee. And a note, and you probably heard it on the Miller's Edge, but Dan Lanning is out. He's addressed his team. That's a video is on Twitter, and he will not be the next coach at the University of Alabama. We're taking calls. Let's go to Al. Al, what's up?
Matt. I am driving through Alabama. I just had to take a chance to the opportunity to call you and say that, you know, I remember us doing radio together when Nick Saban was hired.
Yeah.
I remember the day that Coach Moore introduced Nick Saban. And I was on the air with you when Coach Moore passed away on a Saturday. You got a special show about that.
You're right.
And then it's come full circle. And, you know, we're all 17 years older, and if you are of a certain age, there's at least for me, Matt, I just wanted to say there's a tremendous amount of gratitude that's building up inside of me. And I have a 16-year-old grandson now who's much like a lot of your callers. He's known only the Saban era. But it gives me an opportunity to connect with my grandson the way that my grandfather connected with me and the way that I've connected with you and our friends over the years. And they only happens, it seems like, a few times in my lifetime, not just centered around Alabama football, but many of the memories and many of the things that I've been able to learn and been able to try to be a better person have stemmed from the very conversations that we seem to be able to have the privilege to have again today. And I just wanted to say hello, and I wanted to take the opportunity to connect with you again. And I've always admired you, and I was there as a young, I'm just a few years younger than you, but just enough to remember when you and Roberts and guys talked about Coach Bryant's retirement and what was going to happen and then the sudden passing of Coach Bryant. This is not like that, but it's just a wonderful remembrance, and I'm honored and take it as a great privilege to get to talk to you today and share that with you today, and I send my best your way.
Al, thank you, and I remember those days very fondly. Please drive carefully. I love you, man.
Love you.
All right. We got to get a top of the hour break, but one thing we're going to talk about real quick here. Lars, we've gone through some of this. Everybody's going through it. Do you have a short list here? Do you know where Greg Burns, who's he calling? Who's he texting?
I have no idea. I have no idea. My best guess is Steve Sarkisian. It's going to be somebody who has strong ties to Nick Saban. I know how strongly that Nick Saban feels about Sark. Now the question becomes, would Sark leave Texas for Alabama? Is Texas a better job right now than at Alabama? And I teased this at the very top of the show, and I'll answer or get back to it right now. I think a big reason why Nick Saban is stepping away is the current state of the game, as reported by Chris Lowe. And people who, again, who I'm tight with, who I trust. Now, do I have confirmation that this actually happened? I don't have double confirmation on it, but there's a chance that some young players at Alabama asked Nick Saban for more money after the Rose Bowl and said, mm-hmm. "Hey, my NIL isn't good enough. And if I don't get more money, I'm going to the transfer portal." So it's like he's being shaken down. And I think coaches around the country are feeling that way. I'm not, and again, I can't confirm that this happened, but I'm just expounding what I have been hearing from people who I trust, and I trust very much. And I won't give the names. The names were given to me of the players who made this request. And is it possible that there was a straw that breaks the camel's back moment for Nick Saban? I think it is. But I also think it's very possible that there are larger issues at play.
Great explanation. As we go to the top of the hour break, let's go around the table. You're Greg Byrne right now. Who's your number one? Who are... You getting on the Alabama corporate jet? Where are you going, Laura Lee? You're on deck.
Yeah, I was getting a little excited about Dan Lanning when that rumor first started because of his youth and his management of the transfer portal as well as the changing guard of college football. I think that the coach takes something, a similar sort of standing is that I like Steve Sarkisian makes a lot of sense. Of course, leaving Texas is that's something that's like doesn't seem realistic sometimes when you think about it. Mike Norvell and Kalen DeVore are both extremely popular names. From Kalen DeVore, who's Washington right now, and Norvell at Florida State, those are very popular names right now. Lane Kiffin's one that Alabama fans love because of his ties to the university. If I'm Greg Byrne, Sark is my number one, but it seems a little far fetched to get him out of Texas. So I think from there I would think Norvell over DeVore personally, but it's, you know, this is something that we're gonna have to try to wrap our heads around.
I do think it's going to happen relatively quick.
Yeah, well, you know, for sure. Greg Byrne said that.
He's kind of set up.
And it might
window.
Be set. But,
Lorelei?
Yeah.
Lorelei, speaking of getting someone out of Texas, I think you and I agree on somebody, maybe a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Yes, my pipe dream is D'Amico Ryans.
I agree.
He's my pipe dream. So I agree it'd be hard to get Sark out of Texas, but Sark, he knows Nick Saban, and not that that plays into it, but I think that Alabama has a special place in his heart, and I know most of us understand Lane Kiffin probably wants the job.
He would be right beneath D'Amico Ryans in my book. Am I just out of my mind?
I've been told it's not going to be Lane.
I feel like he's going to want someone. Yeah, Lane. I feel like he's going to want someone who has experience running a college football program over a guy like D'Amico. You know, he makes $4 million right now a year with Houston. Mm-hmm. Might win Coach of the Year this year in the NFL. Obviously, really bright future there. But you know, Alabama can raise that price big time. No question.
All right, you've been listening. We'll take more calls. Tom, you'll be coming up right after 1 o'clock, so continue to listen. Continue to call in if you'd like to join us. It's 205-342-9904. You are listening to Big Noon Sports.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Kevin Wyatt.
Huge news in the NFL today as the Patriots and head coach Bill Belichick announcing they will be parting ways after 24 seasons together, in which they won 6 Super Bowl championships. Belichick became the second all-time winningest coach in league history, including the playoffs, 333 career wins, trailing only Don Shula. Got some college football news. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers announcing he is foregoing the NFL draft and will return to Austin this fall to compete in another season for the Longhorns. Another highly watched player, Marvin Harrison Jr., saying he will be entering the NFL draft come this spring. In the NBA, The Athletic is reporting that Grizzlies player Marcus Smart has sustained a severe right wing finger injury and will be sidelined for approximately 6 weeks.
Town Square Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Lorelei knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Lorelei is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as Houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Lorelei Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lorelei@thebamabroker.com. That's lorelei@thebamabroker.com.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Yes. It is the Big Noon Sports Network. Matt Coulter, Lars Anderson, Larley Thompson, Peyton Davis in the studio. And we are taking phone calls. If you'd like to jump on board, please do at 205-342-9904. Tom, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, guys. I tend to agree with y'all's objections on why Nick Saban is retiring this year. But I heard another rumor, and I say rumor, and I'll say it like this. I was told by several people that there were some tests done back in August on a member of the family, and the tests came back positive. And that may be a reason why Nick Saban may be stepping away. Anybody heard anything like that?
I think we all have, Tom, and I'm not scolding you or anything like that, but it's just not an area I'm real comfortable going into because it just requires so much speculation. And even if something like that were remotely true, that's personal. And let's let them keep that, and if it needs to be known, we'll know. But right now, and I understand your point, Tom. A lot of people are talking about it. And I appreciate your call. But it just real quickly, since you've been on hold for 22 minutes, give me 30 seconds, what you remember most about Nick Saban?
Oh, man, I remember the day that he was hired in Tuscaloosa and just the happiness. It was tears because I felt that, you know, it was a changing of the guard. I felt that Alabama was now headed in the right direction. And then just getting a chance to experience, you know, all the national championships. And I'm a huge Alabama memorabilia collector, so the fan days, I've made so many friends at fan days. I would get there on Thursday, pitch a tent. I would have my children with me. We would get autographs from the players. I mean, it was just a different time and day, and just so many things like that. All the shows that I would go to on Thursday nights. I mean, something I'll never forget.
Tom, thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go back to the top of the row here. Ellis, we appreciate you calling Big Noon Sports.
How y'all doing today?
Okay. All things considered, yeah.
Yeah. Same here. You know, I ain't ashamed to say it. I'm 59 years old, and I got teary-eyed when I heard it. So, and y'all talked about what all he done down there for Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama. That's the things I remember and what he did when the tornado come through, you know, and Nick's kids. You know, all the good things that he done. I thank him for everything that he done, him and Miss Terry, because they done a lot down there. Before he came, how many people were coming? How many students were they at that college at Alabama?
About 20,000.
Now there's like what, 44,000?
And,
you know,
and counting.
And that's it.
You're right. Hey, great call, Ellis.
And I was through the era, through the Bear Bryant era, because I was born in 64. So, you know, I'm plumbing on up to now, and I'm grateful that I was able to see all of this happen.
Thanks for your call. Great one. Appreciate it, Ellis. Let's go to Colonel. Is that right? Are you the Colonel?
That's correct. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. I would love to know the origin of that name, or did you serve? Are you a Colonel?
Well, my last name was Sanders, and so
no,
high school started calling me the Colonel.
Yeah, I guess that would just fit perfectly, wouldn't it? What's on your mind?
It would. Well, I can't say who it was that was in my truck last night. I gave a ride to a staff member, and from what he told me was that Coach Saban was in the interview yesterday, and that they were picking a coach that coached underneath Nick Saban. So I asked him if it was Dan Lanning or Lane Kiffin. And he smiled. He said, I can't speculate, but he goes, I can tell you that the people that was in the office that he was interviewing for the DC and a few other positions, he smiled when I said Dan. So take it as however you want to take it, but my speculation on what the mannerisms was from the staff member, that was Dan Lanning.
Well, you know, he released a video. The university released a statement this morning, actually right before we got on the air, saying that he was staying at Oregon. So does that mean he meant Lane Kiffin?
I'm not for sure. He wouldn't speculate on which coach.
Yeah.
And I brought up both of those in the vehicle, and so, you know, he said it was going to be a coach that coached underneath Nick Saban, and that they were, and Saban was in the interview with a defensive coordinator position that was available, and they were in the interviews together. So, but it was going to be, that's what was stated to me last night, and so something's signed, and we all get witness to that, but that's what was told to me last night.
All right. Appreciate you sharing the information. Thank you, Colonel Sanders. I've been in the radio and television business 52 years, and I don't think I've ever said thank you, Colonel Sanders, just for the record. Hey, James Spann is the last person Nick Saban would call when he'd leave the tunnel and go out on the football field. And he has a very close relationship with Nick Saban. And we're going to talk to James Spann, the weatherman, when we get back as you continue to listen to Big Noon Sports.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high today around 60. Tonight increasingly cloudy with a low at 45. Tomorrow cloudy and breezy. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Storms could be severe. The high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Nick Saban's retirement and replacement and reasons why. Some we know the answers to, some we do not. But I'll tell you who knows all. We just heard from, he just gave us our weather. But James Spann joins us from ABC 3340. James, did Nick call and get your approval to retire?
You know, I must have missed that call. And I'll say, you know, when, and I, you know, I do his radio show once a year, the Hey Coach show. And when I was with him this year, I thought he looked kind of tired, and it was just a different countenance, if that makes any sense. And again, not that I knew he was going to retire, but I just sensed that he looked, you know, a little more fatigued than usual. And, you know, I just wondered how much longer he's going to do this. We had the retirement talk a couple of years ago, and he just totally blew it off. But anyway, I just wish him and Miss Terry the absolute best. They have done a lot for this state, not just for football.
Yes, it's been an absolute honor for us to, as fans, to have a front row seat, to see this epic dynasty that Saban created from the day he walked in and gave that press conference and absolutely delivered on everything he said he would. So how has that relationship grown over the years, being, of course, you're the most well-known weatherman in the state and the greatest coach to ever live?
Well, I don't know about the first statement there, but we've had a great relationship. And, you know, Coach Saban is a weather dweeb, a nerd, a weather dork. I mean, he loves weather, and he loves talking about weather, and he's very, very educated. And so the one thing I appreciate about him is the fact that he's made me better. You know, Coach Saban, he demands excellence with everybody in his circle, everybody, not just the players, but the coaches, administrative team members, and ancillary support people like me. And, of course, I don't get paid a dime. I'm just there to help them with weather. But understand, weather's a big deal. It is a really big deal with some high-impact events when you've got a football weekend coming up. And I know that he does not want me to screw this up. I mean, I know if anybody expects a right-on forecast, it's him. And I don't want to, you know, hose the guy. And so he makes me work harder and think harder and do better analytics and a better forecaster, a meteorologist because of him. So I'll always be thankful for that relationship we've had. I look back and we've had some pretty high impact weather, you know, events with football days. And even in the Rose Bowl, you know, the coach, he had a slot for one indoor football facility in the Los Angeles area. And they had a slot from 5 to 7 for that, but he didn't like it. He wanted to practice 1 to 3, and there was a soaking rain out there that morning. And he wanted to know, is the rain going to be over time for that outdoor practice? And, you know, those things always make me nervous, but I told him yes, and he made the decision based on that, and they got his regular time slot that he wanted. So that's the kind of stuff we talk about all the time, and I just like the fact that he demands excellence, and he's made me better.
Hey, Mr. Spann, I'm Peyton Davis. I'm a student at the University of Alabama right now. It's an honor to be talking to you. When I hear you say that he was maybe tired or fatigued more so than usual, you'd think, and he talks about on when he appears on ESPN, he said, you know, these long days when he's 72 are harder than the ones that when he was 62. And, you know, as an Alabama fan my entire life, only knowing Nick Saban and being spoiled by the success that we've been given, seeing his presence on the sideline kind of, you know, not to say that he's like Mr. Eli Gold said earlier, that he's not, you know, like he's not mellowed out, but he's more so mellow than he used to be. When you're around Coach Saban these days, as opposed to maybe 5 years ago, is that something that you see, you just see it like more of an enjoyment of the smaller things and the media's parts of his job than usual, or than they were at the beginning. Is that something that you kind of noticed maybe over the past few years?
Yeah, and listen, I'm an older guy. I'm not quite as old as Coach, but I'm kind of in the same, you know, genre. And as you get older, you begin to appreciate things in life a little more. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, and you understand that you're in the fourth quarter of your life, okay? Not the two-minute warning, but you're in the fourth quarter. And when you realize that, sometimes you're thinking priorities. And, you know, how do you want to be doing this when you're 74, when you're 78, when you're 80? And that goes into it, and I think that Coach Saban with time just started opening his eyes a little bit and saw the other things happening in his life. And again, there was nothing wrong at all with his priority scheme 10 years ago, but it just changes with age and with life. And I think he is a little more mellow, and he really does want to spend some more time with his grandkids and Miss Derry. And while they have this quality of life that they have right now. So, I think it's a great call. And I'll tell you one thing. I think April 27, 2011 really changed him. And, you know, Matt, you know this. Lars wrote the book, The Storm and the Tide, but, if you want to understand more about what I'm talking about, read Lars' book, but that changed him. What he saw in the hours and days and weeks after the April 27, 2011 tornado in Tuscaloosa, his response and how he helped people, Coach Saban, his team, those around him, and those people changed him. He's a different man because of that, and he openly talks about that, but I know that for a fact. And you know, I think that locked his destination to be Tuscaloosa until the day he retired. I think in 2011, he would have considered other jobs, other opportunities, but after that tornado, it bonded him with the people in the city of Tuscaloosa. And that also changed his soul a little bit, where all of a sudden 252 people died in this state in one day. Life doesn't go on forever. And I think it really hit him that the reason we're here, it's to help other people to be successful. We're here to help other people that are going through a tragedy. And that's one thing I did notice that really changed him, you know, 13 years ago.
I agree 100%. James, let you go after this final question. It's one of those, I remember where, I remember who I was with. What was your moment at about 4:07 or whenever your social media page started blowing up? You may have been on the air, but when you first heard it.
We do a 4 o'clock newscast on television, so I was – Of course, we've got a, you know, some potential severe weather day tomorrow and this really cold air coming in here next week. And I was looking at maps like always. I was not the first to catch it. Stephen Quinn, who's one of the anchors in there, he texted me from, you know, of course, we're in the same room, but they're all on TV, so you can't talk. And he said, check out this tweet. And it was from the ESPN reporter, Chris Lowe. And, oh, boy, everything has just changed. So it was during the middle of the 4 o'clock newscast. And, I've got some pretty good sources. And the fact that I've worked for them as a volunteer doing weather support for years and years. And all my sources said, yeah, it's true. And I told them, yeah, he's got it right. And he's talking to the team now. And that's when everything changed. Jeff Spiegel, who does sports for us, he came in and just pretty much ad-libbed for the next 15 minutes. And,
of course, that's all.
Goodness. And social media just, you know, blows up and everything. And, so it was during a newscast, of all things.
Yeah.
So I just started thinking back on when he flew in. And, you know, of course, you're talking about that and all of the events and the games and the memories and the radio shows we've done and the football briefings with the coach and Ellis Ponder. Just very, very warm memories. And I'll always cherish the fact that he made me a better guy.
James Mann, you probably know this, but Big Noon Sports is on and flagshipped by Tide 100.9 FM here in Tuscaloosa. But we have recently acquired another affiliate, 1230 WTBC. How do you like them apples?
Oh, man.
You're on TBC right now.
My heart is so warm just thinking that I'm on the Big 1230, the larger-than-life 1230 that gave me my career, you your career, yeah, and countless others. And, the 5 years I worked at TBC, nothing has ever surpassed that. The first night I was on TBC in high school, it was pure magic. Nothing in my career has ever topped that night in terms of excitement and the thrill and just magic. So, my heart is warm and fuzzy knowing that I'm on that Big 1230.
Oh, man. My thoughts exactly. Thank you, James. Get back to your weather. Right, we appreciate you taking time.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. By the way, we do have other stories going on. None nearly as important, but Belichick's gone.
Mm.
That's a Saban confidant coach. Football.
Seriously, yesterday and today.
Yeah, Pete Carroll goes.
Pete Carroll, too. It's just the changing of the guard and the entire sport, no matter the level. And you add it to the list of just like Tom Brady in the last few years and, you know, Drew Brees and others alike. It's a new era for football on all levels. And it's one that's going to be part of my adult life rather than my childhood, which has been Coach Saban, Coach Belichick, and so many of these legends that, you know, have given me the love of the sport that I have today.
Candidly, when I first heard it, you know, as I told y'all earlier, I kind of took a moment to myself to think about it and what it meant to me personally, what it meant to Alabama fans. And then the next thing in my head is, Alabama's going to lose Ryan Williams. Boom. 30 minutes later.
Seriously.
He decommits.
Not even an hour. Not even.
And, yeah.
Seriously.
Well, and Larley. He can come back. But
oh, yeah.
You know
he'll
what?
Visit again for sure.
T-Rob.
That's a kid.
T-Rob.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, he's a young kid.
He's a junior in high school. You know, he reclassed to a senior.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the thing. There's going to be a lot of, I think that going on and players wondering, but you know, I mean,
it's
Nick
natural.
Saban
this
is in
Saban,
the office
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he's there. That's
and,
our coach.
You know, you hear him talk about how he wants to be part of this transition process, wants to be part. You know, this is a guy who we know, the way he's handled this whole retirement, he is not asking for a farewell tour or anything like that. We know he's professional and he loves the city of Tuscaloosa and he's not just going to leave, you know, without being a part of the future in some way. And so, you know, him and Greg Byrne, is there more? You can't really trust, you know, have two figures that you trust more than that.
True.
To me. So it's comforting. So, but it's a celebration as well as a somber day, of course, for all of us.
Well, of course. And I'm hoping that we get the opportunity to have a celebration for him. I don't know if he'll
There's
allow it.
There's
going to
be one whether he likes it or not. You know, I think that's the Alabama, Alabama Nation will, Saban Nation will demand it.
I think of the moment next year, whoever the head coach is going to, you know, have Saban in the building one day. He's going to walk into the team meeting or whatever, and everyone's going to go crazy. I think of that moment and how special that's going to be. It's just, you know, he has a home here forever, and we, you know, we'll remember him forever. He's what made Tuscaloosa what it is today.
You know what my third thought was?
What?
I'll bet they're rolling Toomer's Corner.
They already did.
They already did, yep.
No, that's what I thought right after I heard the announcement, 5 minutes afterwards, and then I looked at the live cam.
There,
there they were.
Man.
And you know what? It's funny. It's interesting, but I think it also just shows a lot of respect for what Auburn has for Nick Saban. Let's take a break. And when we get back, we got to approach the recruiting and transfer portal angle on Nick Saban's retirement. We'll do that with the one and only Bone coming up next on Big Noon Sports.
Irene Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Indeed. Appreciate you folks listening. And by the way, you're listening to Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa and also 1230 WTBC in addition to our network stations along the eastern portion of Alabama. We got to talk some recruiting concerning the departure, the retirement of Nick Saban, and who better to do that with than Andrew Bone. Andrew, how are you? And could you please just kind of tell us where you were, what you were doing when you got the news about Nick Saban?
Yeah, I was actually on the phone with some of our coworkers. We were, discussing some weekend plans and some of the content that we needed to create. And obviously, a lot of that stuff kind of got put on the back burner for now. But I mean, just at my house. It was a sort of a slow day. You're trying to think of content ideas that you can come up with on the team aspect and the recruiting aspect, because this is somewhat the slower time of the year. But what a shocking moment that was. I got a picture of the Chris Lowe tweet, and most of the time when you see all these tweets, you start to second guess it, because there's so many fake Twitter accounts that are out there that are trying to get you. That are people are trying to get you to retweet and they're just fake accounts. But once we kind of saw it, and it was interesting because there wasn't really much to it. It was just one short sentence from Chris Lowe, and I know that he was trying to get that out as quickly as possible, and he knew that the word was going to leak pretty quickly once they've been informed the team. But big surprise that it happened when it did. I kind of always imagined that we were going to have a much bigger heads up as far as coach. I don't know why I always thought that. I just thought, he's going to let everybody know before a season starts, hey, this is the last ride. This is it at the end of the season. That's going to be it for me. But it didn't happen that way. He went out on his own terms, and you know, good for him. I mean, he gave Alabama you know, more than what I think anyone could have ever hoped for, imagined. You know, all those early years, everybody was just waiting on when was he going to leave? When was he going to go back to the NFL? When was he, you know, was he potentially going to go to Texas or somewhere like that at some point? He just wasn't sticking around different programs, and I think that he obviously found his home in Tuscaloosa, and he made the most of it, and you know, will obviously go down as the greatest head coach of all time, but also you know, the best. You know, I'm writing a feature right now, kind of one of my you know, big columns on, you know, what he meant to the program from a recruiting perspective. You know, from the very start until the very end, where we saw him, you know, working, trying to sign, you know, another great class, which he did. I mean, Alabama finished number two in the recruiting cycle. And, you know, he used to, you know, he always said, you know, I'm going to retire whenever I feel like, you know, I'm not doing a good enough job, or I'm not leading. I'm not going to be able to have success where I used to have success, and dragging the program down. But he was able to do that. He was able to, you know, get Alabama to the playoffs. He won the SEC championship. He beat Kirby, knocked them off from potentially winning a third national championship. They may not have won it all this year, but, you know, it was one of the strongest coaching jobs that we have seen from him. You know, you lose your coordinators, you replace a lot of staff members, you're replacing key players that on both sides of football, including your, you know, number one overall draft pick at quarterback, and then you're able to do what you did this season and then bring in another, you know, top two recruiting class overall. I mean, it's a remarkable job, and it was you know, I've been here covering it from the very start. You know, I started during the Mike Shula years, the first year of Mike Shula, actually. And you know, those were some interesting times that I know Alabama fans hope to not get back to. But to see what Alabama's been able to do from the moment he stepped down on that tarmac at Tuscaloosa Regional Airport to his retirement is nothing short of remarkable, and it was fun to cover it these last 17 years.
Yeah, it's been an epic run over the last 17 years, and one of the things that I heard today is that Coach was in the office and was actually calling recruits and showing that he's still going to be around, at least for now. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I mean, and we saw him arrive at the office. I tell you what, the day that I retire, I'm not showing back up at the office.
True.
There's no doubt in my mind that I'm out. I'm done. But you know, that's his commitment to the program and his love for the University of Alabama. You know, I know he shocked a lot of people yesterday, and he shocked a lot of, you know, not just fans and media, but, you know, he shocked a lot of people in that athletic facility. I think a lot of people knew that it was coming at some point, but I don't think anybody knew it was coming yesterday. Talking to people around the facility, you know, even on, you know, I talked to people on Tuesday night, and, you know, said they were in meeting. They were interviewing coaching candidates. Because they were not head coaching candidates. They were interviewing defense coordinators, wide receiver coach, outside linebacker coach. I mean, he was still working and doing his absolute best to make sure that the program was, you know, still moving along, that it was still doing the right things. I mean, you know, yesterday they had school started back. So you had a lot of freshmen that arrived on campus on Tuesday and moved in and started school Wednesday morning. And I imagine it was a pretty big shock to them, you know, when they had that 4 o'clock meeting, you know, probably. And from what we were told, and this is a standard thing. This is a standard meeting. First day of school, you're going to meet with your football team. You're going to tell them exactly how the next few months are going to go as far as workouts, you know, prior to spring training. And I think that that was the expectation for everybody yesterday. I don't think anybody went into that meeting thinking Nick Saban was about to announce his retirement. So there's probably a lot of shock, still a lot of shock for a lot of those people that, you know, either work at the facility, play for the University of Alabama. But yeah, I mean, he was working all the way until the end, and he's still working now. So it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds over these next couple of days, couple of weeks. You know, obviously the head coaching hire is going to be very important that everybody's going to be watching, but, you know, does Alabama potentially lose anybody as well? And that's, you know, from the top down, from assistant coaches, people who work in the administration, people who are on the support staff, players on the team, you know, the recruiting class, you know, what happens there? I mean, it's all kind of a mystery right now that we're all paying very close attention to following, and we're keeping everybody, you know, in the loop every single minute at BamaOnline.com.
Hey, Andrew. So obviously it's kind of a tough topic to cover because it's still so raw, but something that people are going to, you know, end up wondering in the next, you know, couple days, couple weeks, how this, you know, obviously Nick Saban, the best recruiter of all time, pretty much undisputably, the countless number of elite recruiting classes he's brought in here. How does his departure from the program, even though he'll be around, obviously we've heard that, but how does his departure from the program impact not only the recruiting trail, but the team, you know, the formulation of the team with the transfer portal being such a big part of college these days. And obviously, you know, you want to work fast to hire the next coach because it's damage control at this point, making sure the team stays together and getting recruits back on board. But how much damage do you believe, you know, what type of damage control can we expect? Like the community, Alabama fan community, can we expect in the next coming weeks, like the impact that this decision will have on the, you know, the team as well as the recruiting trail?
I think the biggest question is how quickly are you going to hire somebody? How, you know, and what kind of relationships does that coach have already with current players, you know, potentially current players on the team, but also your recruiting classes? The players had a players only meeting last night. I believe they had another one today. You know, the leaders kind of stepped up, talked to the team. Hey, you know, stick around. Let's wait. Let's not all just, you know, dissipate and go somewhere else and go look for, you know, other opportunities. You know, the biggest thing with Alabama for the last, you know, 17 years has been that one constant, which is Nick Saban. Nobody freaked out when Kirby Smart left or Mario Cristobal left or any of these assistant coaches left. Nobody really cared that much because a lot of these players wanted to play for Nick Saban. And now he's retiring, but he's trying to stick around the program. He wants to sit down with all these players and try to recruit them to stay at Alabama and why Alabama is still going to be great for them. And, you know, he's obviously going to have a voice as to who the next head coach is going to be for the Crimson Tide. And, you know, you would expect a lot of those players are going to listen to that voice. And, you know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how it all turns out. But, you know, we can probably expect there's going to be, and there is, a lot of guys who are upset right now. Probably a lot of players, especially in the 2024 recruiting class, who just arrived on campus, who, you know, they committed to play for Nick Saban, and now, you know, he's gone. So we will have to wait and see. It's all kind of speculative right now. But I think that, you know, in the end, Alabama's going to be all right.
Agree. Andrew, thank you for your time. As we go out, if I want to read the piece you're working on right now, how do I find it?
Go to BamaOnline.com. Go check us out. All of our content. We have everything on the latest coaching searches, debunking all the rumors that are out there. And, you know, we have a lot of other great content coming out as well from the team and recruiting perspective.
Andrew Bone, thank you for your time.
Thank you. See ya.
See you later, Andrew. Thank you for your time. We have one more segment to go before we get to the top of the hour. Turn things over to Ryan Fowler. We might squeeze a phone call in if you'd like to call us at 205-342-9904. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partly to mostly sunny. The high today around 60. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 45. Tomorrow, cloudy and breezy. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Storms could be severe. The high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Lars Anderson, Matt Coulter. We also have Peyton Davis and Larley Thompson in the studio. Just literally minutes before we came on the air, right before noon, Peyton and I were in one of the studios, and we're talking back and forth, and then up pops very interesting news. I was unaware that this was even a rule.
Yeah, so as blurry as the transfer portal is and all that stuff around, you know, the parameters around it are kind of interesting to look at these days. Chris Humer reported yesterday around the time that Saban announced his decision that the transfer portal window for Alabama players is now open for another 30 days. And, you know, obviously with the portal period, first one closed a few days back, and then it'll open back up in April. But this report says that there's obviously some sort of clause where if a coach leaves, then that, you know, there can be an open, you know, a window open back up for, you know, a month, it looks like. And so that's, I think, why Greg Byrne, when he was addressing the team after Saban made his decision, you know, gave the 72-hour time, said that, you know, we want you to wait 72 hours, 3 days before you decide on your future yet. You know, let us get a new coach in place and let us try to sell you on what's going to happen here and Saban staying around and calling recruits and all that. So it's an interesting tidbit for sure, because this stuff is still new to us. I mean, it's been around for a few years, but it's still new to us the way it keeps evolving. The transfer portal and the name, image, and likeness era of college football. And this is just another important and interesting tidbit to, you know, see when, you know, this obviously can take a toll on your roster. 30 days is a long time. You can get a lot of guys who make a decision that they don't want to be around here if Saban's not the guy, you know, leading the charge. And that would be understandable. But, you know, having that kind of clears up why Greg Byrne would give them a 3-day timetable in saying, like, we're going to have a coach in place. That's why we think it's going to be a quick decision, a quick process. And we're going to bring a guy in, and we're going to sell you on the vision going forward here for you younger guys and for you older guys who have been around the program with Saban for that long. We want to sell you on this new coach and, you know, the staff that we're going to put in place going forward and diving deep into, just a new era of college football. The playoff field triples, conferences realign. It's just a crazy time to be a college football fan, and this is, you know, just adds to that.
With all the rules or lack thereof concerning, yep, you know, the transfer portal.
Well, the clarity is just not
this, there.
There
is not very little. Very this little. Is a good rule, though.
Yeah.
That's a great rule.
Makes
somebody
sense.
Somebody thought about it. Let's go to the phones. Pat, you're on Big Noon Sports.
Yeah, guys, this could be devastating to our program or any program. This could be devastating to the program who's ever coach we're going to hire. That, absolutely. And, 30 days, that is a long time. I mean, hey, but I wish that I could have got my call in to you before you talked to Andrew, because my question would have been for Andrew is what coach could have turned or could turn Ryan Williams around? Ryan Williams is a generational talent. Y'all hear me? That I talk a lot about recruiting.
Agreed.
But this one, I watched him in just last Saturday, wherever he was when he played in the Under Armour game. Hey, the young, he caught the first session. He threw a 2-point conversion. This guy's an athlete, y'all.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
He is probably, from what I know right now, one of the top four or five recruits Saban's ever gotten. I mean, that's what I hear.
He's up there with
have you seen him play, Laura?
Oh, yeah.
This guy's incredible.
Seen him play.
Like the Julio Joneses of the world. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of level we're talking about. And he was going against in that game. He's going up against the number one cornerback who's a year older than him, going to Georgia next year, and scored two touchdowns on him. It's just, you are correct, generational talent, and we want to get the new guy in place. And Saban having his presence in that recruitment and try to get him back on board. But this was kind of an expected announcement. I think me and Matt talked about it before the show.
Well, I would think someone, if you were able to get someone like Sark or Kiffin, who is both offensive minded, then you'd have an opportunity to reel them back in.
Yeah. You got to go. The short list that we're having here.
That's why those two, but primarily Lane. From what the administration, I'm just been out of shape about administration. That seem to have something against Lane. Lane is a phenomenal offensive mind. I mean, phenomenal. He's the best of the best as far as play callers go. That he took and kids that had different talents at Alabama and worked to their talents in order to produce winners. And can't everybody do that? There was a high school guy in Rush Probst. Nobody liked Rush's off the field antics, but Rush could put people where they needed to be and win. But anyway, but forget about Rush. What I called about is Lane. That are we going to be able? Because this thing, because I knew Lanning wasn't coming, and with there's something that's supposed to happen this quick. This could only be if Jimmy Sexton's involved in this has already been going on for a little while.
Pat, great call, our last call. You just got something on that, didn't you? Laura Lee, you don't want to talk about that?
Well, Sexton. What about Sexton entering the Malmore facility?
Evidently, there's video.
There is video. I did show you a video, but he is Saban's agent as well, but also the agent for some of the other names out there that we have
Sark
discussed.
And Kiffin.
Yeah, and one thing about Lane, you don't want to undersell the fact that he last year, I mean, he's riding the high of his Ole Miss tenure right now, obviously. An 11-win season at Ole Miss is a remarkable feat. They've never accomplished it. It's remarkable. And the transfer portal class that he's got bringing in and stuff like that, it's definitely an attractive option, and he's done such a great job there. So a lot of respect for him. We'll see what happens with the coaching search, but regardless.
For the rest of your lives, you can tell the story that you were there and you were on the air the day after Nick Saban announced his retirement. Now, not a lot of people can do that, Larley.
That's true.
Thank you for all your support. Sincerely.
Absolutely.
Peyton, go to class.
Gotta hurry.
We'll be back in 22 hours. You've been listening to Big Noon Sports.
Has someone in